Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read several verses. Keep your Bibles open, and we'll be using them tonight. Last Wednesday night, if you were not here, you have to understand just one premise here. The book of Daniel, it was written during about a 70-year period of time called the exile or the captivity. Those are two terms that you'll see used. That was a judgment for missing 490 years worth of Sabbath years. 70 Sabbath years were stolen by the Jews from God, and God was taking them back all at one time. And God uses several different nations in that 70 years. We'll see that later, but the first of which was the nation or the kingdom of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. Aren't you glad you didn't have that as a name? Amen. King Nebi, all right? So Daniel chapter 1, let's start in verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children, in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he said, gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Look back at me, if you will. Let me set the foundation, and then we'll jump into the study tonight. Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon takes over the nation of Israel in 586 BC. He totally levels the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says in several different places that it was leveled so badly there was not one stone left built upon another. Imagine taking a city bigger than Martinsburg and leveling it to the ground where there wasn't one piece of stone or one building that had one block left that was attached to another properly. That's what happened in Jerusalem. By the way, it laid waste for the next 70 years. Later, you'll read about the rebuilding of the wall by Nehemiah. That's after it laid rest for 70 years. Imagine a city being destroyed and not touching it for 70 years. How bad a shape it would be in. Then you have Ezra with the rebuilding of the city, not just the wall, but the city itself. That's what they had left to work with. Now, God was using Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar to judge or to punish Israel for missing 70 Sabbath years. The Jews had stolen them from God. Now God was getting them to pay it back all at one time. Nebuchadnezzar takes the Jews captive. He goes into Israel. He goes into Jerusalem. He levels it and levels much of the country. And he captures the people and drives them into the land of Babylon. Now listen to this very carefully. He also takes the best and the brightest of the young people to train them in the language of the Chaldeans, which is what the Babylonians spoke. Notice what he says here in verse number 4. Children in whom was no blemish. In other words, younger. They were probably older high school, college age young people. But well favored. Skillful in all wisdom. That means they were bright. They had good grades. They had the ability to learn and knew how to use their learning. Cunning and knowledge and understanding science. Why the purpose of understanding science? Because science is the study of life. Contrary to Dr. Fauci. It is not the study of a disease, it's the study of life. And if you understand the chemistries, the biologies, and the physics of life, you have a better understanding than the average person. Most people don't understand chemistry and biology like they probably should. That's why we trust what doctors say instead of knowing what biology really is all about. I didn't say that, but I said that. They see what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He was going to take millions of people captive. And he was taking the best of the best, probably several thousand. And he took these bright young people and those that could learn the new language, and he was going to put them through a 3-year college course, train them in a new language, and he was going to use these young people to lead a Babylonian way to the Jewish people. He was going to use the Jews to lead the Jews and guide them in the Babylonian culture and way and politics. So he had to take young people who could learn the politics, learn the language, learn the culture, so that they in turn, for the next however long they were going to be there, the Jews would more readily follow another Jew than they would King of Babylon. Yeah, sounds like what they're doing in our schools today, just in a different direction. Now, Daniel is one of these young men chosen to be one of these leaders under King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily provision. Look down verse number 5 a little bit farther. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. In other words, after they've gone through their paces for 3 years, then they were going to stand before the king, and then they would be able to help him lead these Jews in the Babylonian way. Now, this is, by the way, they had to learn a new language. They had to learn new customs. They were learning a life-altering education. They really were. They were actually going to lead the Jews out of, and you'll hear me use the word Hebrew and Jew. Hebrew is the nation. That is the nationality. Jewish is the religion. Okay? Most people don't understand that. But you have to understand here that these Hebrews were going to lead the Jews into a Babylonian style of leadership in Babylon. Daniel is one of those people. There are several things that these young Jewish or Hebrew leaders had to go through in their training, and tonight I want to talk about that a little bit and help you understand what took place in this beginning stage of this captivity, one of which is centered around the man of whom the Bible, this book of the Bible is mentioned about, is Daniel. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar changed their names. I want you to notice verse number 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now look at me. He wanted them to lose their old identity. He needed them trained to think his way. And if they were called by their old name by the Jews, they're going to revert back to their Jewish ways. But also, having the Jews call them by a Babylonian name, the Jews are more apt to accept the Babylonian ways. So he had to change their names. The Jews following them needed to see that these leaders now are being called by a Babylonian name, though they know they're Jews, and they begin calling them by a Babylonian name, they're going to be more likely to accept the Babylonian culture. Now, when you change someone's identity, or shall I say, remove their old identity, it's much easier to change what they believe and how they live. It really is. It's much easier, by the way, and I'm going to tread lightly on this one, Brother Harry, you would understand this probably better than anybody in here except myself. That's why undercover work for police and things gets very difficult, and a lot of those people end up ruining their lives. They change their identity to go undercover, but when they come back out of it, they rarely come all the way back out of it. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that work, but I strongly recommend Christians not to do it. I don't think it's wise for a Christian to change their identity to the point where they're dealing drugs and working with drug dealers and prostitution rings and everything else. It's bad enough you got to deal with it when you're on the streets. It's another thing to go into that culture and act like that culture. Well, I can do it. I've not seen one Christian go through it and come out a strong Christian. Ever. It's never happened that I've seen. I'm not saying it hasn't, but they're always damaged. Always. And when you change someone's name and you change their identity, they're more apt to change their lifestyle. Now, let me say it this way. And if you think you know what church I'm talking about, you probably don't. But I know a church who had a change of pastor. The new man immediately went into building a different building. It's not that the old building wasn't adequate, it just wasn't up to their specifications. So they spent multiplied millions of dollars, build a new building. By the way, you say, why? Because the pastor before was a very strong pastor. Led a very strong way. The new pastor wasn't going to do that and wanted to lead them a different direction, but knew had he stood in that pulpit, in that building, in that auditorium, the people were less likely to change. That church now is what I would consider liberal. They're in a brand new building, but they're liberal. Had they stayed in the old building, they would not have changed like they changed. Now, everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Notice verse number 7. And unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, he gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. Boy, how'd you like to go from Daniel to Belteshazzar? And to Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now you know those three names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. That's several chapters down the road here. But I want you to understand, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and I didn't use their Hebrew names, Belteshazzar. Daniel's name is changed to Belteshazzar, Hananiah to Shadrach, Mishael to Meshach, Azariah to Abednego. Now, do you know that the only times that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are called this are in verse number 6 and verse number 7? And from then on, they're using their Chaldean names. Daniel, his name is used interchangeably throughout the book. You'll see the name Belteshazzar, but be careful, chapter number 5... Turn to Daniel chapter 5. I'm going to show you something, because in Daniel chapter 5, there's another king that comes on the scene, and his name is Belshazzar. That's not Daniel. Notice it's Belshaz, not Belteshaz. There's two letters missing there. Belshazzar, the king, made great feast to 1,000 lords and drank wine before. And Belshazzar, in chapter 5, that's not Daniel, that's another king. Okay? So I realize it's very close. I'm warning you of that so as you read through, you don't think that that's Daniel becoming king and doing some of the vile things that Belshazzar did. Belteshazzar is different than Belshazzar. Belteshazzar is Daniel. Belshazzar is an evil king. Make sense to everybody? Okay. I'm just trying to help you. You say, well, preacher, that's really confusing. Really, it's not. But I'm just warning you in case you wonder as you get going through this thing, all these names. Yes. It's not Bill and Bob and John and Joe, all right? So it doesn't quite work that way. So first of all, Nebuchadnezzar, the thing that he does is he changes their name. He's trying to change their identity. He's also, this is what comes with this, and this is what you need to see. He is trying to change them out of a Jewish or a Hebrew culture to a Babylonian culture. America is in trouble because we're trying to change the culture of America.
That's right.
We're not to change our culture.
Amen.
Those of you that are 45, 50 years old and older, we never heard of an adjective before American.
Right.
You were an American or you weren't.
Amen.
There was no such thing as an African American, a Puerto Rican American, a Mexican American, a Venezuelan American, an Indian American, or a Native American Indian, Native American. You were either an American or you weren't. Period. We weren't even white and black Americans or brown. You were an American or you weren't. Nobody thought anything other than that. When the Star Spangled Banner played, you stood up, you took your hat off, you put your hand over your heart, and you held your chin up high.
That's right.
And if you didn't, somebody beat the snot out of you.
Amen.
We need to get back to that culture in America. We didn't pay them millions and millions of dollars to play professional sports and watch them kneel when we played it either. Man, the fans would have run the field down and jerked them up and thrown them out. Well, that's what we need to do these days. Anyway, I'll preach that sermon later. So, in the changing of the name, Nebuchadnezzar is trying to change the culture of the Jews. Secondly, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change the Jewish leaders' diets to make them more Babylonian. Look at verse number 8. Now you have to understand something. He's trying to train them for 3 years. He's going to make them eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine, and change their culture. And you're going to see why this is a big deal here. Verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Now watch this. Daniel said, I'm not doing it. I'm not eating it. And the prince of the eunuchs, his name is Melzar, by the way, you'll see that later. Melzar says, look, Daniel, if you don't, and the king looks at you, and the rest of the Jews are eating the king's meat, and you look sickly compared to them, my head's on the line. Notice something here. There's only four young men willing to make a stand. The rest of the Jews are willing to eat it. Look at verse number 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, told you were going to say it, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee. And the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now look at me. Food is a major part of culture. It is. You go to different parts of the country, there's different foods based on different cultures there. Chicago is kind of a unique place. You got South Chicago that's mainly, and you can get mad at me for saying this, there's nothing racial about it, but South Chicago's mainly black. That's where you get into chitlins and greens and all that kind of good stuff, if you like it. Not me. I ain't eating greens even though I can't taste. Ain't happening. All right, they can be raw, I'll eat them, but cooked, I don't care if you put ham hocks with them. I don't care if you cook them with vinegar. I don't care what you put in them. I've smelled those things, and I can't smell, and it still lingers in my head.
Amen.
Nasty. Mustard, collard, you name it, it's not going down the hatch, cooked. I'll eat the ham hock and throw the rest of it away, amen? Like some pig wandered in a swamp ate that thing, man. Yeah. But anyway, but you go a little farther, and then you've got the Spanish part of Chicago. You've got the Polacks. You've got the Italians. You've got, sorry, that's what they are. I grew up with them, all right? You got the skis and the E's, all right? And you have all these, you've got Chinatown. You've got all these little different areas. By the way, it wasn't designed that way, but people congregate mainly because of food, language, and culture. Our government tries to mix everybody up and say, oh, we should never do that. You can do it all you want, but guess what? It's going to happen naturally.
Amen.
Go back to Genesis and the Tower of Babel. That's how God did it. Now, different parts of the country have different, you know, you have Chicago-style pizza. All right? That's real thick pizza. All right? It's not like New York pizza that's a cracker with stuff on top. When it looks like an elephant tromped on it, and you set it on a hood of a car to bake all day in the sun, and you call that pizza, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way for me. Now, some of you like it, great. Not me. The thicker, the better. All right? Give me Chicago style, not New York style. But you got New York style cheesecake that's better. Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their culture and teach them a new culture to forget their old culture. Now watch this. There's food in my hometown that every time I'm back in Canton, I try to stop in and get. There's a place, I'm not even going to turn around and watch my son, but there's a pizza place in Canton called Papa Bear's. It is the best pizza in all the world. It's actually pizza oven. Now, he disagrees, but my wife is over there. We love it. Okay? Or the root beer stand. Those are two places. It's just culture for us. It's just what we do. Okay? Grew up on it. Great. No problem. Now, the Old Testament Hebrew diet, though, listen to this, is a separation issue. It was a separation issue as God's chosen people. Now, I want you to know some things about the Hebrew or the Jewish diet. I want you to turn back to Leviticus chapter number 1. I'm hearing Aaron laugh because he's going through Leviticus right now and bored to death. He doesn't know what I was going to teach tonight either. I didn't tell him on purpose. And that's not, it's actually Leviticus chapter 11. I'm sorry. I knew something didn't look right when I said it. And I have it written right. I just didn't read it right. Look at verse number 44. Yeah, grasshoppers, beetles, and locusts. Amen. You can have all that protein you want. That's a happy motorcyclist. Leviticus said that just for you, Brother Scott. You know a happy motorcyclist by the number of bugs in his teeth. Amen. Leviticus 11, look at verse number 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore... Now, what's the next word?
Sanctify.
Look at me for a second. The word sanctify or sanctification. It doesn't necessarily mean to make holy. It means set apart for a specified use. This pulpit is sanctified. It's not holy. It's made out of the same wood that's in your house. But it's set apart for a special purpose. Does that make sense? There's nothing holy about it. It's sacred, but it's sanctified. It's wood. It was gotten from a tree just like the wood in your house. But it was set apart for a special use. Now look at verse 44 again. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. And ye shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's not talking about people. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. For this is a law of the beasts and of the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and every creature that creepeth upon the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clinging, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Now look at me. It wasn't a matter of one is good for you and one is not. It is a matter of it was a sanctification of the Jewish people, setting them apart from the rest of the world as God's chosen people. Make sense to you? Now, God did not say that eating something that's on the list that's quote unquote unclean is sinful. But he said, I don't want my people to do it because it's a picture of Christ. It's you have been sanctified. Matter of fact, go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse number 10. Acts chapter 10. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is here. Acts chapter 10, verse number 10. Look at verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very, what?
Hungry.
And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. He was not just hungry, he was hangry. Amen. He fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. It was a giant tablecloth coming down, amen, full of food, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Oh. That's different than what clean and unclean is, correct? Look at verse 13. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat.
Amen.
Notice it didn't say anything about vegetables. Did you ever notice they didn't take vegetables on the ark with them either?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Verse 14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. I want you to know something. Peter was a Jew. God said, "Here, it is. Eat it." And he said, "God, I can't. It's common. It's unclean." He said, "I told you, if I said do it, it's okay. It's not common or unclean." Now, I'm going to say a few things. God did not say these other things were sinful. They were just things that God's chosen people, the Jews, were not supposed to eat. Did you know there was things that someone who took the Nazarite vow weren't supposed to eat, but the rest of the Jews could? Does that mean it was sinful for everybody? No. A Nazarite was sanctified for a time, and they were abstaining from certain things during the time of that vow. That's much like what the Hebrew diet was supposed to be. Now listen to this very carefully here. God lifted this off of the Jews after Calvary and the resurrection. All of those things were a picture of Jesus when they would die and give their life for the life of man. Every time they ate, excuse me, they were supposed to be remembering what Jesus would one day do for them. So the Jewish diet was to point them to Calvary. After Jesus died and resurrected, he said, "Peter, rise, kill and eat. It's all okay." That means Jews can eat pork. It's okay. Amen, amen, Brother Aaron? Pork is good food. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. The kosher dietary laws of the Jews is still part of temple worship. The kosher laws are still part of temple worship. Those are the things Jesus did away with. These were the same people who crucified Jesus. So keeping those laws are saying that Jesus is not the Messiah. That's truth. You doubt me? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. I think it's chapter 3. I don't have it written in my notes here. Hang on here. And I don't have my study Bible here with me, but Colossians talks about that the things that were nailed to the cross, not in holy days, feasts, and all those things. I'm looking for the verse, and I'll have to come back and give it to you next time, but I'm sure it's in Colossians. But hang on here. That's what you get when you don't write things down in your Bible, right? 2:14. Yep, that's it. 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. When the king was changing their diet, he was taking also away Jesus as Messiah. Those things were pointing to Christ as Messiah. Now, Daniel and his three friends purposed that the food, part of their culture, wasn't going to change. They decided, you can change my language, you can change my name, but you're not changing my God and my Savior. They took a strong stand against the government. Now, They wanted to keep God the center of life, even in a foreign land and a foreign government. Just because they were captives in a foreign land didn't mean they had to turn their backs on God. Can I say something to you? I don't care what the government tells us. I'm not turning my back on God. They can tell me all they want that I can't witness in public, but guess what? I'm going to witness in public. I'm going to tell you that your kids can talk about Jesus at school just like you can talk about Jesus at work. You have the right to. They have the right to talk about all their immorality and cuss and swear. They can take God's name in vain. How come they don't use Allah's name with curse words? Why is it only our God that they want to curse? You want to stir up trouble? Start telling them to use Allah's name instead of God's name. That'll get somebody excited in a hurry. Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested. He said, look, I'm not changing my religion. I'm not changing my God. And I'm not going to defile myself every time I eat and say that Jesus isn't going to do what he said he would do. By the way, that's why in the New Testament, after the resurrection, Jesus told Peter, arise, kill, and eat. It's okay, because I've already fulfilled all that. And that was nailed to the cross. The kosher laws of today are still in place because of temple worship today.
That's right.
Not church worship. Jesus was not part of the temple. He started the church.
Right.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. Number three, and I'll hurry up here. Try to. God blessed Daniel and his three friends for their stand. I want you to notice verse number 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel, of all these Hebrews that were young people that were going to be trained to lead, he's brought into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. Look at also verse number 15. Well, verse 16. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they should drink and gave them pulse. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge, skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had an understanding in visions and dreams. Now you have to understand something. God let it be proven that the Hebrew diet was blessed by God for the Hebrews. To the point where I can't tell you what you could think. I can tell you what I think. According to verse number 16, I think they took the portion of the king's meat away from all the Jews, not just those four. I think the ones that were willing to change, changed. And Daniel proved otherwise and said, hey, time to step up, dudes. Imagine he got some of his Jewish friends a little mad at him. They got their first taste of pork and beans, amen? Got their first taste of bacon. They weren't real happy, but Daniel didn't give a flip. Now, wait a minute. God also gave Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, however you want to say it. God gave these four young men something very special. It says that, first of all, he gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. In other words, I bet you, I won't bet. Brother Josh will bet you. But I'll promise you that Daniel and his three friends were probably the top four graduates of this school. He gave them extra skill in knowledge. It came a little easier to them. They understood it a little better than most. Also, by the way, I want you to notice what it says. Look at it again. gave them knowledge and skill in learning and in wisdom. It doesn't say just in spiritual things. This one's going to hurt. Did you know that learning comes by the Holy Spirit? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've commanded you. Guess what? If it's truth, God can use the Holy Spirit to help you recall truth that you've put into your brain. I teach young people all the time, I don't take tests well. That means you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit well. You struggle with the test, yield to the Holy Spirit. Put the information in and let him help you pull it back out. I didn't say you'd be a straight A student, but I passed college for 4 years that way, let me tell you. Man, there's times I pumped the information in. I'd sit down and look at a piece of paper and go, oh Lord, I'm so tired I can't even see straight. Help me. And I'd get to a question and say, Lord, I was in Bible college. I was doing real well in the class, and I went to the teacher. He said, you left one blank. I said, sir, if you open my notebook right now, go to this page, I can tell you the words before that word and the words after that word, my notes. But I can't tell you what that word is to save my life. He said, go get your notebook. I handed it to him. He said, what page? I told him. He went, ch-ch-ch-ch. All right, got the right page. I said, go down about this far. He said, yep, I see it. He said, you got it highlighted. I said, these are the words before it. These are the words after it. He said, let me see your test. He marked it correct. He said, anybody knows it that well? Okay, you forgot the word. This is the word. That's it. Couldn't think of it to save my life. He said, I know you know the material. He said, I think you're just trying too hard. I said, apparently I wasn't trying hard enough. Wait a minute. But it's a matter of yielding to the Holy Spirit. He can teach you all truth. That means this. He can help you with your secular work. It's not a matter. I don't care how old you are. You can learn things. I mean, you can get as old as Brother Randall and still learn. Amen? Yeah, it is. But Brother Randall, by the time I get there, you won't remember who I am. Woo, it's coming faster than I know, too. Trust me. But God gave them knowledge and skill in all wisdom, not just spiritual things. That means this. God gave them knowledge and skill in government. They had to learn a new government. They were going to be the government leaders. Next, Daniel was given an ability to understand dreams and visions. It'll be very important later in the book. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't speak in dreams and visions anymore. Those were done away with the completion of that book right there. And anybody that gets up and says, well, I had a dream and this is what it means. They had bad pizza before they went to bed. They ate that New York stuff. Now, in other words, God gave Daniel a special ability because of his stand for right. Can I tell you something? The more you stand for right, people are going to separate from you. But the right people will come toward you. And God will be able to bless that. Some of you are new Christians. You're finding out by going to church, not everybody loves the fact that you go to church. And some of your old friends aren't coming around anymore. I tell people, you don't have to separate. Just live right. They'll separate from you. They really will. You'll find out the ones that want to come your way and those who are going to go as far as they can. Now, the king himself was impressed with these four young men. Let's look at verse number 18, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 18. I'll read the rest of the chapter, make just two or three statements, and then I'm going to pray. Now at the end of the days, how many days? 3 years. That the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even in the first year of King Cyrus. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar put these guys to the test, and the more he asked them, the more impressed he was. And he said, these four are better than the best of what I've got in my kingdom before they got here. Isn't it amazing what God can do? God sets up the book of Daniel so we can see how God used these sharp young men to keep Israel in their faith in God alive for the next 70 years. They didn't totally change the culture of the Jews. Not totally. He had to have somebody that could keep the old Jewish culture alive. If you go to Leviticus 25, you can read the dietary laws. All right? It's not real fun. And it's not real... I've heard people, well, you got to do the Levitical diet. It'll make you better. That's a bunch of garbage. God bless you, Brother Roloff, but you were wrong. You can have your juicer and eat all the carrots and grapefruit you want, and I'm for it, and you can do it yourself. But God said, rise, kill, and eat. There's nothing common or unclean anymore. Now, I'm not for just gorging yourself and eating yourself to death either. You got to use some wisdom. But just know at the beginning, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to change the entire culture of the Jews. And because of 4 young men, it wasn't totally changed for an entire nation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you a question. As the culture of America changes away from Christianity, where will you be? Are you willing to take a stand like Daniel?